Hey, folks. This is Andy and Logan.
Yes, I am here.
from Odd Trilogies, yes. your loyal hosts. Today we're trying out another new piece of content, another type of coverage we can bring you. Mm-hmm. And we're trying out what we call a quickie.
Yeah.
Which is, kind of immediately after seeing a movie, kind of our first impressions, a little hip fire review. So we have just seen Jeff Nichols' The Bike Riders.
We have, indeed.
Starring Austin Butler, Jodie Comer, Michael Shannon. Who else is in there? All sorts of people. Tom Hardy, Mike Feist.
Emery Cohen. A lot of Jeff Nichols people, as well as a bunch of actors you would assume would be in a Jeff Nichols film that might be their first one. Norman Reedus. I think this is the first time I've seen
Norman
him.
Reedus, yeah. And we've just seen the film. We're kind of hashing out our thoughts for the first time. And, we'll just kind of get into it. Logan, straight out the gate, how are you feeling?
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I think, again, one of the reasons why we're doing this quickie, not only because it's a new release, but because our next trilogy is going to be about Jeff Nichols' films and his collaborations with Michael Shannon as a lead in three of those films. And Jeff Nichols, as of The Bike Riders, has made 6 films.
Right.
Michael Shannon has been in every single one of those films. with the other ones being supporting roles, which is why we, it's a trilogy and not talking about all 6 of his films. But we thought initially with that trilogy, we wanted to do it in time of The Bike Riders, but we still need some time to work on that trilogy. And while we're working on that trilogy, we thought, well, why is that going to leave us from talking about and seeing The Bike Riders and doing more quickies? Because we want to expand the website more, expand our content, and especially talk about new releases, especially with this.
Yeah, we kind of, we do, like you said, we time up some of our trilogies with new releases, so we do get to talk about new movies from time to time. We do our year-end top 10 where we talk about movies from the year.
Yeah.
But, this is an opportunity. These and written reviews and such are an opportunity for us to kind of talk about, what's going on right here and right now in the movie world. Speaking of written reviews, by the way, Logan has just recently published our first new written review on the website. So you can find that at oddtrilogies.com. And he wrote a piece about Janet Planet.
Yeah. So again, on top of doing quickies as well as our standard trilogy episodes, which we're really excited for the next 2 trilogies, we are just also going back to written reviews because it's something that we both haven't really done since we started the talks and Andy's, constructing the website from the ground up. And that's been more of your focus.
Yeah.
More so, understandably, than writing reviews. So we're going to get back into the swing of things with that.
Yeah.
Even with my Janet Planet review, but you said you wanted to do Kinds of Kindness.
Yeah, hoping to write a Kinds of Kindness review. That comes out very soon.
Yes. And so, to get into that swing of things, we thought, what better way since our next trilogy is Jeff Nichols, the episode, the movie's out, and especially the fact that The Bike Riders was originally supposed to come out last September.
Right.
But I think due to some distribution issues, it now got pushed back to June of this year. It's just good to actually see the film come out.
Yeah.
And actually the fact that the film is good, which do you agree with me on that? Are you kind of like in the...
I do. I mean, I liked it. I just from the little bits we've already talked in the on our way to the car from the movie theater. I have gotten the sense I don't think I'm as high on it, but I did enjoy it. I'll say I think my little capsule take on it is that it very much feels to me like a movie based on a photo book.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Great vibes, incredible atmosphere. Ugh. It's beautifully shot, great acting, set design, costuming. I just wanted to wear all the outfits, which is not a thought, I think, in a lot of movies. But I think it for me, I was kind of lacking a lot of the emotional tie-in.
Yeah. No, I think that's. So the big thing about The Bike Riders is the fact that at the time this film was, before it got into production, Jeff Nichols was going to do the Quiet Place day one.
Yeah.
He originally wrote a script for it, or at least a spec, and then I think was going to direct it as well. And then I think due to creative differences, he left that project.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bit of span of time where he didn't have a project. And then I think he got a hold of Danny Lyons' photo book.
Yeah, that's the author.
Which is the inspiration for this film. And yeah, it's just a photo book. It's based off of, you know, photography that is from a motorcycle club in the Midwest from the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the book is just one motorcycle club. Do you know that?
I think so. My understanding is he hitched up with this motorcycle club while he was in college studying, like, photography and journalism and just kind of documented whatever they were doing. We haven't held the book in our hands and paged through it, so I can't say for sure, but I get the impression the book is like pretty much just photos. Like it's a photo documentary basically.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he actually interviewed the bike riders like the character does in the movie.
There might be like a foreword or there might be sections in the book that talk about it. Yeah. I mean, the most fascinating part of about this film is the fact that it's like Jeff Nichols, who at this point, this is his sixth film in his career, and he takes a photo book, uses it as the inspiration, and creates something that is, I think, essentially a really just engaging vibe. At its best, it's very engrossing in the late 60s, early 70s, Midwestern aesthetic, too. Like, again, Jeff Nichols, which we will talk about more when we get to our actual trilogy, but like his podunk, small town, Midwestern vibes that he can get in his films are immaculate at their best. And I think in The Bike Riders, when it comes to the visuals, it is, even when they're in a shitty part of a small town, it is immaculate just how just engrossed you are in terms of like, I've seen towns like this before.
Yeah.
And it,
it feels super lived in while also feeling like this kind of other world that you almost don't believe, like, actually existed. It's like, really, people lived like this
again? Which is also funny too, is that since we both are born and raised and currently live in Indiana, it is fascinating that this film, which was shot in Ohio and takes place in Ohio, anytime they bring up Indiana it just threw us off, where it's like, oh yeah, this is not like the far, this is not the East Coast, this is not a West Coast. There's one like prominent West Coast character that shows up, which is Norman Reedus' character. And even then, he shows up pretty late. And so it's like, it's very much just homegrown Midwestern story in terms of what its approach is. And it just threw me off. As soon as someone brought up Gary, Indiana, I was thrown. I was like, oh, well, it's the 60s.
The classic movie-going experience living in a flyover state like Indiana is that anytime Indiana's mentioned in a movie, somebody in the theater is going to go,
oh yeah, we like, had, oh, nice. There was somebody sitting somebody, like, right next to me.
He drove into Indiana.
He cackled.
I was like, was that funny?
And I think it's like, I guess I get it. I get why you think that's funny, but it's still
funny. I clapped when they said Indiana.
I think the thing about The Bike Riders is I thought it was great, but I think what really holds it back is the fact that because it's entirely original, there are some aspects in terms of narrative kind of contrivances or in just in terms of just like the rise and fall of a motorcycle club. When you hear that idea of a story element, you can kind of already guess
what's going to happen,
the big swings.
And
ultimately, I think it's still, for its 2-hour runtime, I think it still
it goes by pretty quick. And I think also the performances go a long way in like making it captivating, because I was never bored in the movie. Like, I was kind of hanging on every performer's word, every character's words, even as I was sitting there thinking, like, I don't really know much about this guy. I don't really know much about these people's relationships. I'm not entirely sure why I care, but I'm into it. Like, I was not, like, totally distanced from it, you know? It was just kind of like this is a really compelling vibe, but I think my engagement kind of stopped there. It's a really, it's interesting that I kept thinking of like Goodfellas while I was watching
me
it.
Me too.
You know, which is a up. You know, I guess that's a compliment.
It is.
But it, then again, there are so many movies that you could watch and remind you of Goodfellas, because that movie basically like created a genre.
I think it becomes more of a compliment when it's like, it has Goodfellas vibes, but it doesn't feel like Jeff Nichols trying to homage Goodfellas.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, in a story like this where it's about, you know, something that you would believe started in such an earnest way, getting malformed or changed as time, you know, just progresses, as things happen, as people come and go in some way, shape, or form, or you get older.
Yeah.
Like, that's another fact. There's so many fascinating aspects about this film that I feel like I know where I stand on the film now, but maybe it could get better as I rewatch it, or maybe it'll go down as I rewatch it. But I think it is fascinating how a lot of the film is also just about, like, just growing up or figuring out what your version of growing up is.
Yeah.
Even though you're already, every character in this film that we at least get has speaking lines is above the age of 20.
Yeah.
So it's like it's adults basically just outright trying to find their place in the world, already been in the working class, middle class for the longest time. I mean, it's the biggest thing about the film is that Tom Hardy's character is just like, he's a working class man.
He's not
just like, in my head, I thought he was just, all he does is ride bikes and there's something else. Well, that, but no, there is that working class aspect to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was probably the dynamic in the movie that probably like piqued my interest the most, which might be part of why I don't feel more jazzed by it, is because I wanted it to explore a little bit more of that, like, the reality that this is just kind of a club
thing
they do in their spare time.
Yes.
Because, like, at a certain point, I kind of, you know, lost track of, like you said, does Johnny, which is Tom Hardy's character, is he still doing his job? Because, like, Austin Butler's character, Benny, he says at one point, you know, you got a job, you got a family. And I'm like, oh, does he still? I thought he just abandoned that. Because the movie almost entirely, like, almost every scene, you're with the vandals, the gang, you know, hanging out in bars, riding their bikes or whatever. There's barely any like slice of life in there.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, part of me was like, if this is really just a club, like, show me why it's, you know, that element of their other lives, their kind of day to day lives. Cause then I think we won't get into spoilers, but the direction the gang goes, I think would hit a little harder because the gang the club transforms into something that it never was.
Yeah.
And I think I felt like the movie was kind of already portraying it as that the whole time.
Yeah, that's, and
there's, you know, there's a there's a turn towards more violence, but like they were already pretty violent.
It is. I think one of the things that ultimately was going to hold this film back to a degree, but the level or range as to how it was going to hold it back just depended on the execution. But the fact that this is based off of a real biker club, but not specific events surrounding that biker club or even the people that were in that biker club, basically leads that, like, when they're doing, you know, this is, the film takes place since 1965. Now we're going to cut to 1973. You know, it's an 8-year kind of span discussing a certain part of this motorcycle club, but since it's fictional, there are times where the film loses its track in terms of, like, as an audience member, you're going, so is this still 67?
Right.
And then the film does its best to be like, now we're going to talk about 68, now we're going to talk about 69, but even so, there are moments where it's like, sometimes you think it's been months since the last scene has happened, other times it's only been, it's gone from the morning that happened to the evening of the same day. And it doesn't kill the enjoyment of the film, but it does make it so, like, if you, like Andy said, you want to be more engrossed, you kind of get lost when it's like, oh yeah, not only does he have a family, but like, this, it's still the same day.
Like, it's still the same day.
All this shit's happened
today.
In a day.
He went to work today.
Yeah,
and
it's
still,
like,
did all this shit.
Yeah, so it's like, and it is, it's fascinating too, because that's what leads to such an interesting relationship with Hardy's Johnny and Austin Butler's Benny, because Austin Butler's Benny, as a character, I think as a blessing and a curse, is the machismo poster child for what Johnny wants.
Yeah,
in his real life.
Yeah,
but You see in the film, it's like, at a certain point, what does that even really mean in the real world to be like that?
Yeah.
And that also leads to, like, with Austin Butler, I do think out of the entire, I mean, like, I genuinely mean this, out of the entire cast, with a really strong supportive cast, even the kids that, like, even the people that show up later where it's like you have two or three lines, but they are selling these lines. Mm-hmm. I think Austin Butler is the weakest link. Mainly because there's just not a lot for him to do except for you see in the trailer, brood.
Yeah, stand there and look like a hard ass.
And he sells it super fucking well.
Yeah, and that might be more an issue of the, you know, the character than Butler's performance. But yeah, you're right that it is like the least outwardly impressive because he doesn't have as much to do. He does get a couple scenes that are, you know, lean on the emotional side a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let him flex a little bit. But his presence in this movie is like look up toward the eye line in a really cool way. Like, you know, his head's down at his drink and he looks up and it's like, damn, yeah, Austin Butler's a badass.
And again, it's one of those things that I think the bike riders will always, considering where this originally came from a photo book, there are shots in this film where it's like, that's incredibly well-placed.
Very great composition.
Well-composed. Clearly that is a picture in the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, I mean, if you look at that book, you'll probably see a lot of the similarities between...
They have a lot of the photos over the end credits, too. Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where I didn't expect to go into this film and be like, holy shit, I know all these OG Vandals names, like Corky, Wahoo, Zipco, Roach, what they like, what kind of started, like what their introductions were.
Yeah.
How they are kind of personality-wise from the little we get from them, more so that I feel like, what the fuck does Benny really want?
it's
so fascinating in
that
regard.
It almost kind of feels like the thesis of the movie or whatever is almost that Benny really isn't anything. Like, he doesn't really want anything. He just wants to ride his bike. And like, that is it.
I love just how your body language, as you realize that what you're saying was true, but
also
how
silly.
How simple it is.
Well, and
I think that is
something that's commendable about the film is that it, you know, it does portray this you know, group as incredibly, you know, tough and cool on their bikes and all that, and it takes it all incredibly seriously, but it also does feel like it's the film itself is admitting, like, this is all pretty silly.
Oh, again, I think the Goodfellas comparison works with, like, how the beginning of the Bike Riders is so bombastic compared to the
it's
latter
It's kind
half.
Of like, you know, almost at certain points, almost kind of like a, you know, putting a sense of, like, shame on the romanticism of it, kind of like, you know, what were you thinking?
The freeze frame title was shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're just like, this is how we're starting this.
not just freeze frame title, freeze frame on the protagonist with another main character voicing over, like, explaining, so this is what we're dealing with.
And then it's like immediately in my brain, it's like, as far as I want, I always want to be a gangster. Like, it's like, that's the first thing my brain goes to. And it's like, if Nichols wasn't even thinking about that during this film, bravo to him. But if he was, also makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see that being like, in terms of trying to make a original story surrounding photographs of real people.
Yeah.
Like, I could say Goodfellas is such an easy, like, yeah, of course. That movie slaps and rips in every way.
Yeah,
like,
it's a good template.
Good template to
like
figure
this.
That. And thankfully, it doesn't. I don't think that like really bogs down this film if we compare more to it. Like we said,
sure.
It's more just the fact that it's like, since it is fictional, and in certain aspects, you know, clearly you could see the inklings and the roots of these cool ideas about like what the motorcycle club means to, you know, the community as well as to other people, especially to kids in that community.
Yeah.
Like
the like
see,
impact it has, the influence on the,
and just
yeah.
seeing how differently everyone's interpreting this and that, it works really well. But at the same time, it is like Johnny as a character has like so many aspects, I think, like you said, that like I would like to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
Benny is really just riding high on Austin Butler's charisma, and lo and behold, unsurprisingly, that man is oozing charisma and bravado and machismo the entire film. And then surprisingly, the one who gets the most lines, who probably gets the most screen time, and I think deservedly
and probably the most emotional range,
and
too.
Most emotional range, and I think deservedly so because she's a phenomenal fucking actress, is Jodie Comer. But she also is doing this in a very specific accent.
Yeah.
And when she first
It'll take a lot of people off guard.
When she first shows up it is just, again, when the film is already trying to introduce what the framing device is going to be for the film, it's like it's trying to show you what the framing device is, trying to show you the vibe of how everyone's talking about the situation, how Jodie Comer's accent's going to be the entire time, as well as the fact that, like, how we're going to jump time constantly.
Yeah.
Because it's like... It's one of those things where my brain was like, thankfully, by the halfway point of the film, my brain was like, okay, I understand if they talk about something like this ominously or they talk about something without really giving context, we'll finally actually see the events. So usually it's just Jodie Comer talks for a long time, does an incredible job. Again, and then Mike Feist being the stand-in for the photographer that the book is based off of. He just again, immaculate vibes just from him just sitting there listening to them talk about shit.
Yeah.
The fact that it's, I mean, it's just, again, it's an incredible cast. It is such a vibe all the way through and doesn't really lose it. And I think it does a good job without it glorifying or even being like a cautionary tale per se. It's more just being like, listen, just with how human beings are and how time changes, this cool little motorcycle club is not always going to be the cool little motorcycle club that was in the late 60s. And then one of the best parts about Jeff Nichols, I think, as a director, he's very dry and very grounded, so it doesn't feel like there is any kind of, you know, there's no, there. He's not leading the audience on in any way, shape, or form with, like, the decisions that are made in terms of just, like...
Subversive is not a word I would use to describe this movie.
No. I think it's. I mean,
pretty much, you know, plays its cards pretty straight.
Yeah,
and which is not inherently a bad thing.
No, I think this is definitely a film where it's like, if you like Austin Butler, you will like this film to a degree.
I think also
Hardy and Comer is the same way.
Like, yeah. I think also, like, the one of the big appeals of this movie is, like, if you know have an itch or a bone for, you know, historical dramas or, you know, things set in other periods and kind of existing in another time, in another place.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie has really strong atmosphere for that. And, like, it is a compelling kind of just experience in, you know, set way back when, in a specific time with a specific group demographic of people.
If you ever,
you know, it's a compelling immersive experience like that.
If
and
you,
that's, I think, the best thing about it.
Yeah. If you've ever wanted to cosplay or be a biker at any point in your life,
yeah,
I feel like you could watch this and you could feel validated for a few of those feelings of why you'd want to do it.
Yeah. No, and this, I kept half of this movie I spent sitting there thinking, maybe I could be Benny Bike Rider for Halloween. That's not his last name, that's his last name in my head. They're all bike riders. Their last name is Bike Riders.
Yeah.
When you're in the Vandal Club, you're a bike rider.
Bike
it's
rider.
Like the Brady Bunch, the bike rider bunch.
No, it is. It is one of those things where it's just like you. There are moments where you see some of the bike riders, and it's just like, I don't know if I want to look like that guy, but I really want the
I want his outfit.
I want to hang out in a circle with him and talk stories.
Yeah. Because
it is.
I want to sit in a smoky pool room. And
yeah. It is. Again, I made a joke while Andy and I were watching this. Well, and it was a certain point where I was like, men only want one thing, and it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's just them riding their motorcycles in mud.
In mud, splattering
while,
each other.
Well, their families are having a picnic on the side.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
The film does a good job of just showing, like, you could see the appeal as to, like, in this era, even now, why this would be kind of a fun little thing to do, but how long? And that's
to what degree, and
And I do think that there's just, like, again, Nichols is just, I think he's a great director, and I think at this point I've seen all but one of his films, and of course it's the most popular of all of his films, which is Mud.
Yeah, I actually
haven't seen Mud, but I've seen all of his other films, and I like... At the base level, I really like all of his other stuff. And so it's just like seeing this and just being like, Jeff Nichols, you've done it again. Another good movie. But in terms of where you, like, if you're a big fan of his work, where it kind of stands, I don't think this is his best movie. I think it's hard to beat Take Shelter. I think anything he does in the future is going to be hard to really beat that. But ultimately, I think the Bike Riders is a great job of capturing that era, capturing the feeling and the vibe of why you would even want to do a motorcycle club in the first place, as well as discuss what the ramifications could be in terms of just, like, being a person that lives in the real world who also just wants to ride their bike all day,
yeah,
all night,
yeah,
and that's all you're doing. Like, it right. is. It is great to have. You could definitely see the inklings of why this character exists in the story and why this character is here and why Jodie Comer is the person that is basically telling the story for the majority of it, because she is by far the most grounded
mm-hmm.
of
I
our
mean,
leads.
It's the most relatable.
Yes.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yeah, when it gets down to like when it should get the moments where it's like, this is going to really hit you, this is really going to hurt you, or like make you very emotional in these moments, I really wasn't.
Yeah,
like,
it's not a heavy hitter. Not
just
a heavy
enough.
Hitter. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think it really, what it lacks in that emotional department, it makes up for in its costumes, its locations.
Yeah, just the atmospheric experience of it.
Yeah, there's a shot.
Again, it's a coffee table book.
Yeah.
As a movie, like which is not a bad thing.
If it was socially acceptable to have movies on coffee tables like we have certain books. The bike rider should just be right next
yeah,
to the bike rider's
book. Yeah, you just
put
it, yeah.
And be like, oh, you want to talk about the bike rider's movie?
Yeah, like, if we ever get so advanced and technology becomes so cheap that people just have, like, decorative tablets sitting
like,
on their
yeah,
tables.
Like a Treasure Planet, like, book where you open
yeah,
it up and then a hologram of Austin
right,
Butler
right.
shows up.
You just have a little tablet of the bike rider
yeah.
playing on the living room table.
Yeah, because I think in my head I give this movie an 8 out of 10, and a lot of it is because of just... the energy and the environment, as well as every actor, regardless of what they're given in the script, is giving it their all.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed just how I came in being like, I'm probably going to enjoy Butler and Comer and Harding. I bet the ensemble is going to do a really good job. I really think I loved the ensemble the most.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the leads do a good job of just adding, you know, kind of like
yeah,
the spice and the seasonings
about
to that.
That.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's like I didn't realize by the end of the film, I'm like... Oh, I wonder how Wahoo's feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of like, I like the fact that, like, I'm looking at these actors being like, I want to see more of you.
Yeah.
In a film yeah. where Austin Butler is winking at the screen every fucking time he shows up. So, yeah, it's not the best thing Nichols has done, but I would recommend seeing it in theaters because it's just fun to watch in theaters. And especially
yeah, I mean, I think you'd get the most out of it in theaters.
Yeah.
Certainly, like with the, you know, I mean, we didn't even talk about it, but the sound design is great.
Yes.
The motorcycles sound incredible. The action, though this is not an action movie, but like the, you know, the violent moments or the high impact moments hit really hard. They're
yeah.
well edited. You feel every punch and knife cut and
yeah. The movie's
engine.
Funny, too.
Yeah, it is funny.
Like,
there's
some
yeah.
good funny moments that are like, it doesn't feel like it's unintentionally funny. Like, I do think that, like...
No, there's comic relief
yeah,
in there.
There's
yeah.
literally one shot. I do think out of all the funny moments, Andy and I laughed at the one that was not trying to be as hard as we thought it was, where it's just Michael Shannon awkwardly standing next to a bike.
Yeah. I think Nichols knew what he was doing.
Knowing how long they've worked together, maybe.
Yeah.
But I just
yeah.
love the fact that, like, the movie has genuine, like, I could see this being, very, like, making people laugh a lot in this shot, in this movie.
Right.
But just having Michael Shannon, it just felt like, of course, we both are laughing the hardest at this.
Right, yeah. We are the target.
Yeah, so if I gave it an 8 out of 10, what would you give it?
Okay, so you and I actually, here's a maybe something the audience doesn't know. I don't know if we've talked about this on the air.
Yeah.
You're a 10 scale guy. I'm a 5 scale guy.
I could do either.
I'm gonna go 3 out of 5 with
fair.
A black leather heart.
Fair. That's
a
fair.
Black leather like.
You want to put the prey emoji and then a black leather heart.
yeah.
And then you'll make a sticker of Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed
no,
it.
Yeah.
It was a good experience. It's not something I think I will feel compelled to revisit. And
yeah.
I, you know, other than the kind of silly names, I don't know how much I'll remember about it.
That's true, yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I mean, Shitty Pete will stay with me forever.
And we didn't even, he doesn't, the one spoiler is Shitty Pete doesn't even visually, like,
no, he's referenced.
Up. He's referenced, but the name is great.
But Shitty Pete is a name I would give to an NPC in a DM or a D&D campaign I was running, so
just,
that resonated with
just
me.
It just also sounds like a knockoff toy of Stinky Pete from Toy
yeah.
Story 2.
It's, yeah, the,
yeah.
Knockoff
so,
in the
yeah,
dollar
if,
store.
If we're doing it out of 5, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
So, but it's, I think in terms, Nichols, since his start in like 2007, the man, every time he's popped up with a new movie, I've watched it and been like, damn, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad he's still going. And I'm honest to God, and I'm not saying this because I think day one's going to be bad. But I think I would have prefer Jeff Nichols's The Bike Riders over Jeff Nichols's The Quiet Place Day One.
Sure.
Just in terms of what could have happened.
Well, and I'm sure
glad we get both.
With him walking away from it, I'm sure the project would not have ended up being a fulfilling Jeff Nichols project based on the fact that he felt compelled to leave it.
But the real question is, would have Michael Shannon been a lead in his
life? No, he would have played all the monsters.
Could you imagine if it just Jeff Nichols' Day One looked exactly like the one we're about to get, but instead of it being Lupita Nyong'o and
Michael Shannon.
It's Michael Shannon and Lupita Nyong'o. They just replace the lead actor with Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
Accent and all.
Right, yeah, he's English.
But yeah, that was The Bike Riders. It was it's a really good time in theaters, especially at this time where it's like, you know, I've heard a lot of people recently just be like, there's not a lot out right now.
I'm kind of glad. It might hurt the film's box office, but like, I'm kind of glad it didn't release like last fall and instead a summer release. Because I think
it's a good summer.
This
release.
Is a nice summer release. I think in the fall, people would have the tendency to come to it expecting more like, oh, this is going to be one of the best movies of the year, because that's like awards bait season.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, this feels more appropriate right now than it would in like September, October.
Yeah. Honestly, if Bike Riders had come out last year and it was trying to do some Academy Awards nomination, it would have had an Iron Claw situation where it would have just
A lot of people being like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not going to give it anything.
or you get those people who are like, why not the Bike Riders for this?
Right.
It's like, guys,
you definitely have. Yeah.
Like, guys, come on.
There'll be some Bike Rider heads for sure.
I mean, for next year's Oscars, I would hope they get, if anything, unless the other options beg to differ, but like costume design and like sound design for sure, like you said. Like, there's a lot of here that is good to admire, and thankfully Jeff Nichols has yet to hit. He had to miss. He's hit the whole time, so it's good to hear. But
that's the Bike Riders. Stay tuned for my upcoming review of Kinds of Kindness, and of course our July Odd Trilogies episodes on, of course, the Nichols Shannon sampler.
Yes.
And also Kevin Costner's film.
Yeah, and speaking of Costner's films, you don't be surprised if you see another quickie sometime soon, because less than a week from when we're recording this quickie, we also have Costner's return to directing.
Yes.
With Horizon, the American Saga. Chapter one.
Chapter one of planned four.
Four.
Which is his Western epic.
Which he is more than happy to refinance his children's homes just to finish this if it doesn't go the way it goes. But yeah, we're excited for that too. So, maybe see that sometime soon. But until then, I'm Logan Sowash.
And I'm Andy Carr.
Thank you so much for listening.